Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. We'll begin looking today at the 10th commandment. Exodus 20, verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The 10th commandment addresses a sinful desire of the heart. So it's addressing an inner sin. Of course, shows itself outwardly, but it's an inward sin, a sinful desire of the heart. It is a sin, like all sins, has brought about so much of what plagues mankind and society today. The 10th commandment addresses an extremely prevalent sin in a day of selfishness. Covetousness really is a result of selfishness. In a day of overindulgence. The inward sin dealt with in this commandment, if left unchecked, like any sin, will enslave the soul. There are people today absolutely enslaved to covetousness. Their soul, their life, everything about them has been enslaved by covetousness. The problem is, they don't realize what the problem is. They do not recognize covetousness as a sin. We live in a society that does not recognize covetousness as a sin. In fact, most people in this country raise their children to be covetous. They teach them to be covetous. Just a natural thing. So if covetousness is left unchecked, it will consume a person's life. If, just like any inward sin, if not controlled, what leads to a thought will eventually become an obsession. And that obsession will lead to an act. That's the cycle of sin. So this 10th commandment points to an evil desire of the heart. And though human laws cannot put restraints upon the inward man, human laws can only put restraints upon outward actions, cannot put restraints upon thoughts, cannot put restraints upon what goes on within us. But that's not God's authority. God's authority reaches to the soul. God's authority reaches to the conscience and lays obligation upon us for our thoughts, for our imaginations. So God's authority, of course, goes much further than man's. The law of God has rule over both the inward desires and the outward conduct of man. Again, the laws of man can only put restraints upon conduct. Laws of God can, or the laws of man cannot put restraints upon your thoughts because they cannot prove your thoughts. But we must always remember the laws of God go much further. So let's look at the as we have with all the commandments. We look at the prohibitions of the command, what is prohibited. And it's more than what's on the face. Of course, covetousness is prohibited. But everything that would lead to covetousness is prohibited. And then we will also see the requirements of the command, again, as we have with each of the commands up to this point. So, of course, the obvious thing that is prohibited is covetousness. The command, like all the others, is very straightforward, very plain. Thou shalt not covet. Now, hopefully there is no one that has any difficulty in understanding thou shalt not. I mean, that's not difficult to understand. Thou shalt not. That is, you do not do this. Thou shalt not covet. And then he goes on and he mentions thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass. So thou shalt not covet. And then mentioned in particular are the dwellings. We are not to covet the dwellings of others, where they live. We are not to covet the properties of others. He addresses that here in verse 17. We are not to covet the possessions of others. We are not to covet the advantages belonging to others. And then after mentioning those things, that is followed by this encompassing statement, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So he mentions some specifics, and then to cover all the bases, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So here we are in a day when money, material things are in the mind of most people. And here we are in a day when society and culture is absolutely drowning in overindulgence, drowning in entitlement. And the motto of the day is, do not let anyone make you feel like you don't deserve what you want. There's a lot of problems with such a philosophy. And that is a very prevalent philosophy in our day. Don't let anyone make you feel you don't deserve whatever it is that you want. The spirit of the day is, I want it now. I want the best. I want it free. And somebody owes it to me. That's pretty much the attitude of the day. But in the midst of all of that, there stands this 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet whatever it is that belongs to thy neighbor. You are not to covet what belongs to him. You know, we live in a day where people come up with all kinds of disorders now. And there are a lot of disorders. And the reason there are disorders is because sin disorders everything. But we live under what we live under a disorder. It's a sin. But there is the delusional entitlement disorder, if you will. And it has destroyed the spirit of America. It's destroyed it. And politicians will stand up and they'll talk about how they're going to recreate the spirit of America. It's not, I don't know how they're going to do that. There's this, again, and it's delusional. And it's been, young people today, for the most part, it's like they just tilt their heads to one side and the universities just pour stupid into it. And we were at a graduation yesterday, and it kind of depressing when you're reminded over and over, these are the future leaders of your country. I thought, my word. But it's the truth. And that's nothing against young people. A lot of old people have had stupid poured into their heads too. But there, in the midst of all of it, there stands this 10th commandment. There stands all the commandments. So what is covetousness? The problem today is, of course, most people don't view covetousness as a sin. They don't see anything wrong with it because they've been taught. They've been taught by Christians that this is how you are to think. People ask often, why is such and such happening in the churches? I don't think you really want to know, most people, because it would take a long, hard look in the mirror of parenting and a lot of things. But people have been taught by even Christian parents to be covetous. You work as hard as you can to achieve. Nothing against hard work. But you plant that eye, you plant covetousness in their mind. Covetousness is excessive, undue, unwarrantable, unnecessary desire. It is a desire without due regard for God. It is a desire without due regard for the matters of God. I want such and such, therefore, I'm going to work the Lord's day because if I don't, I won't make enough money. So I'm going to work the Lord's day to get this. Covetousness, again, let me repeat, is desire without due regard to God or the matters of God. Covetousness. It is the inward matter of the heart. It proceeds from the heart. Notice in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil heart thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, most agree, not all, but most of God's people would agree that adultery, fornication, murder, theft, those things are wrong. Those things are sinful. But notice what's listed with them. Covetousness. Covetousness. Wickedness of all kinds. And then he goes on. All of these evil things. Covetousness is evil. All of these evil things come from within. And what do? They defile the man. We live in such a mixed up society. To show the defilement of sin, people no longer know what bathroom to use. That's how stupid America has become. And it's all due to sin, the defilement of sin. And again, covetousness, just like all other sins, defiles, it pollutes, it destroys. Again, to defile is to pollute. Pollution is destructive. It can engross the heart, covetousness. Ezekiel 33, verse 31. It's talking about God's people. Verse 30 says, "Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word of the Lord that cometh forth from the Lord." You need to hear this. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words. They will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." With their mouth they show much love. They know the right words to say. They know when to say them. They know what to say to look good. But God says their heart goeth after. That is, it's engrossed with this sin. Goeth after their covetousness. Covetousness, as we'll see later, perhaps not today, but covetousness is a great hindrance to hearing the Word of God. One of the main reasons today that people do not hear the Word of God. By the way, the Bible says that there will be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. God always has His preachers. But there will be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Oh, they may... The crowds may be there, but the heart goeth after the covetousness. And they do not listen. They do not listen to what God says. The covetousness, the covetous are described, notice in Proverbs 15, verse 27. "He that is greedy of gain..." That's covetousness. "He that is greedy of gain." What is the gain being referred to? Well, it can be material gain. It can be the gain of recognition. I mean, on and on we could go. But he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Does he mean to bring trouble into his house? I doubt it. Does he want to destroy his house? I doubt it. But he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. You know how many young people are troubled today because mom and dad are greedy of gain? You know how much trouble has come into American households because of the greed of gain? He that is greedy of gain. So that describes the spirit of covetousness. It's a greediness of gain. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be greedy? Well, it's simply to thirst for possessing more, having more, and still wanting more. It is a word that conveys the idea of that which is ravenous. It's an avid hunger and craving and longing. We're to have that desire for spiritual things. But the problem today, of course, is people have that desire for material things. The covetous are those who are greedy of gain. The covetous are those who labor to be rich. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. You know, and almost everybody will say, well, I don't labor to be rich. And the reason they say that is because everybody has a different definition of what's rich. The person who has more than you is rich. And even if you achieve what they have, there's still someone who has more than you, so they're rich. But you're not. Proverbs 23, verse 4, labor not to be rich. Now, it does not say, labor not. That's not what it says. That's what many people have bought into, labor not, and the government will take care of you. But it's labor not to be rich. That's not the purpose of labor. The purpose of labor is not to become rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, what's the connection there? Well, our own wisdom teaches us to labor to be rich. So labor not to be rich, and in order to do that, you must cease from your own reasoning or your own wisdom. So the covetous are those who are greedy of gain. The covetous are those who labor to be rich. Notice also there in Proverbs 23 and verse 5, they're described in another way. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? What's he talking about? For riches. So you see the connection with verse 4. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So the covetous are those who set their eyes upon that which is not. They set their eyes upon the material. I've got to work extra hours because I want this. That's laboring to be rich. That is setting your eyes upon that which is not. And here's the problem. For that which those material riches, they have wings and they fly away. And you just keep chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. And you're never going to catch it. And that's the enslavement that covetousness brings. You know, I was taught all my life, work hard, and you will prosper. That is not necessarily true. That is not necessarily true. There are people that work hard that do not prosper. I think it would be better said, work smart. Work smart. Work smart is you put God first. You don't put God first, you're not very smart. Work smart, and God will bless. A lot of people who work hard, it's at the expense of spiritual. Coincides also the covetous. Again, the covetous are those who labor to be rich, set their hearts upon material things. And we're not saying, I mean, we all, you know, comes time you need a new car, or you need another car, and we all have preferences. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But somewhere along the line, you can cross the line, and it becomes your life. It begins to define your life. Now you've got a problem, and that's what happens. Notice Proverbs 28 and verse 22. And this goes along with what we just read, labor not to be rich. Proverbs 28, verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich. He that hasteth to be rich. To act in haste is to act without really giving thought. And a lot of people, if they would sit down and think this thing through, okay, I'm working X amount of hours a week so I can get or I can maintain such and such. He that hasteth to be rich. If that person would just stop and consider, what's this costing me? Well, it may be costing you your children. Is it worth it? Well, we'll just blame someone else for that. That's what happens. Mom and dad weren't there for their children, so it's someone else's fault. That's what I said earlier. Most people don't want to go there. Most people don't want to go to where the real problem is. It must be the church's fault. It must be the pastor's fault. It must be the uncle's fault. The list just goes on and on. It can't be my fault. He that hasteth to be rich. Consider what it cost. May cost you your children. How many marriages have been lost because people are married to work or married to a dream rather than married to their spouse? It's cost many marriages. Is it worth it? Well, I'll just marry someone else. Well, guess what? The same thing's going to happen again. Think this thing through. Well, I drive a nice car. I have a nice house. My kids have a good education. But what does it cost? What has it cost you? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's amazing. People think about, they weigh the pros and cons on just about everything else except for spiritual matters. And then they give absolutely no thought whatsoever. But again, it's all we can just blame someone else for that. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, again along these same lines, labor not to be rich. 1 Timothy 6 is a passage of Scripture often misunderstood, often taken out of context, often misread. But it said, they that will be rich. How many times we've heard people preach, they that be rich. That is not what it says. They that will be rich. That is, that's their desire. They labor to be rich. They hasten to be rich. And again, people say, again, the problem is everybody has a different definition of what is rich. But they that will be rich, that describes the covetous. What feeds the desire to be rich? What feeds this desire for material gain? Well, that's addressed in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Once again, it's often misread. It does not say that money is the root of all evil. Money is an inanimate object. It cannot be the root of evil. It is the love of money. That's a verb. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that feeds the desire to labor to be rich. The love of money. Covetousness is identified as idolatry. Many different forms of idolatry. Most have in this country have chosen to so limit their definition of idolatry, it's bowing down to a wood idol or some other type of idol that you can see. But idolatry goes much further than that. Now, we in America, people have the attitude, have the thought process that, you know, people over in remote parts of the world, they're an idolatrous people. There may not be a more idolatrous nation than the United States of America. Colossians 3, verse 5, tells us that the last part of that verse, covetousness, which is idolatry. So covetousness is idolatry. Ephesians 5 and verse 5, and we'll close. Ephesians 5, verse 5, the covetous individual is called an idolater. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, again, look at the list here, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. Covetousness is listed with the whoremonger, who is an idolater. The covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So covetousness is idolatry. The commandments have already addressed the subject of idolatry. Covetousness is a form of idolatry. The covetous individual, therefore, is an idolater. So we'll continue next week looking at this 10th commandment, looking at what is actually prohibited in the command. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we again thank you for the law that you've given us. For we know, Lord, that it serves as a boundary to our lives and that it is for our own benefit, for our own advantage, and for our own good. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to give us your law, to set boundaries around our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us not to cross over those boundaries. Help us, Lord, to respect the boundaries that you have set for our own good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.